Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and I am joined once again by the one and only Graham Nichols of the Hockey News to talk all things Senators. Graham, thanks so much for doing this, I think twice in the past couple weeks, so we always appreciate it. And it's been great to kind of get to know you over the past, couple months just covering the Sens. So I'm excited to chop it up and talk some Sens with you. And yeah, I feel like we're the curse though from last time because this
The
team felt
curse, yeah.
like. I keep saying to you at practice that us talking is doom and gloom, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, because like, what happened? We recorded last time. It was following. I think I believe it was after like the Boston Toronto stretch, right? Where
No, it
like
was
those.
Seattle. It was
Oh,
they
Seattle. Okay,
Seattle, and they had
so
dominated New York. Though that
okay,
weekend.
so like, yeah, things were looking up at the same time, and I feel like we're still waiting for this team to take that like next step. You're waiting for like they've had. Well, I mean, currently they're on a 3-game losing streak, so they've had stretches where they've lost like 2 games back to back, and then they bounce back with a win, show some resilience, and move on. But like, I'm still waiting for that stretch of good play where they can go on an elongated winning streak and like actually build up a points cushion and kind of separate themselves from the pack a little bit. But that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, no, it feels like this team. I keep thinking of the word befuddling. I don't really understand what they are and who they are. And I think even yesterday, when we talked to Steve Staios for the kind of quarter mark press conference, he mentioned, I really like our process. We're like, it was funny. He was basically talking about advanced analytics, like we're in the top 10 in most of those in terms of expected goals, shot attempts, everything. Yet our record is 8-9-1, right? And it was a bit of a mismatch. And obviously we'll probably talk about goaltending because I think that's probably the clearest area of like where this team is being let down. But it's like against New York, against Philadelphia, against Vegas, Colorado, even they've had stretches where they should have earned points, right? And that's what we talked about 3 weeks ago, and we're talking about it now. And it's just really weird to try to sift through their record and understand why.
Yeah, like I was at the press conference with you yesterday with Steos, and he said we have some things to figure out, and I like you said, like a bunch of their analytical underlying numbers look great, and I think coming off last season where they make that coaching change for DJ Smith to Jacques Martin, they said, hey, like we have to learn how to play the right way, we have to learn how to defend as a team and build offense off our defense. And I think if you look at their analytical numbers this year, like you're right, like all their expected goals data is like phenomenal. It's like I was looking at it this morning, I think they're like top three and top four in expected goals for percentage, and then the expected goals allowed rate per 60. Like they're defending very well, and I think like last year everybody was clamoring for this. Everybody wants this team to defend well, and now that they actually are starting to defend well, people were still kind of panicking because some of the other stuff in the game just it hasn't gone their way, which is weird because it's like it's shooting percentage. Like their 5-on-5 shooting percentage is bottom five in the league. Their 5-on-5 save percentage is bottom five in the league. And Steve Staios mentioned yesterday, it's like we expect Linus Ullmark to bounce back, like based off his body of work during his career, even dating back to his time at Buffalo, before he went to Boston. Like this is a guy who was posting regularly, like save percentages above 910, and that obviously hasn't happened this year. And for whatever reason, with the exception of that first game against Florida, where like he stood on his head and gave his team a chance to win, and everyone, the vibes were good. The crowd was chanting for him. He was doing his post game interview with Claire Hanna on the bench, and like the crowd was going nuts for him. And then, aside from that game, like he hasn't lived up to that. And I think like I don't know if the injury has kind of lingered and it's negatively impacted his ability to like get comfortable and kind of get back into a groove. But for whatever reason, it's just like I don't know if it's his confidence or what's going on with him right now, but like he doesn't resemble the goaltender from that first game, and they need him to get back to that level soon.
Were you at you're at the Philadelphia game? I sorry. When you go to every
No.
single Senators game, it just becomes a blur. So I haven't really shared this anywhere, and it's not inside information. But obviously, he played really poorly in that game. A bunch of bad goals that really like he was the reason why they lost the game. I wouldn't have said that about. I think that was really the only game, maybe Vegas, but I don't think he played that poorly against Vegas. But he was post game, the media assemble in the locker room. And sometimes players are just lingering in there, waiting to kind of for their turn to be called to speak to us. And he was going to speak to us. And he was talking to Justin Peters, the goalie coach. And you could just, I'm not trying to maybe say too much, but he was clearly mentally in his head. You know, he wasn't, he was kind of talking about how he didn't really understand how it was going in, and you could just feel the weight of him and the pressure that it seemed like he had put on himself. And I mean, I don't know what he looked like in Boston or Buffalo behind the scenes, but he definitely seems to be carrying the weight of the contract, of being the number one goaltender, which he wasn't even really in Buffalo with the tandem with Swayman. And it really feels as though it could be the injury too, but that there is definitely a mental aspect of it that, you know, he's just been pretty hard on himself. You know, I asked him, you know,
But
where
that's
he's
kind of,
at.
but that's
Yeah.
kind of understandable though, right? Sorry, I
Yeah.
don't mean to cut you off, but it's like, you know, if the team plays exceptionally well in front of you and they're staked to a big lead, like your job, especially as the number one guy on a who just signed that extension, like your job is to shut the door. And like when you don't shut the door, it's natural to feel like you let your teammates and your coaches down and yourself, right? Like you have your own personal expectations and standards of how you should play. And when you don't live up to that, like, yeah, I could totally empathize with them in that moment. Just be like, man, like that's gotta be like a very, especially because you're like one of two goalies on the team, but you're the only goalie on the ice, right? Like when you let that team down, it's like all eyes are on you. Like that's the nature of the position. And I'm sure it has to eat away at you mentally, but we'll see how it goes. He's getting another chance at Vegas tonight, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I guess the interesting thing is just that in the past, he's really never had a stretch like this. It seems like, you know, where he's like, he has a worse save percentage right now. Again, very early. We'll be at 20 games shortly, but he has a worse save percentage right now than Jonas Korpisalo did last year. He's an
For
885.
sure. And there's that stat too, right? Where like in 5 of his 10 starts, he's allowed five or more goals. Like it's absurd, like the volume of goals that have gone in against him, and it has to eat away at you. How can it not? You're a competitive guy, and the numbers just aren't great right now. And like when the team is playing well defensively in front of you, and they're giving you a chance to win every night, it's your job to make the saves. And like Ottawa, unfortunately, just hasn't gotten the saves. But the other half of the coin too is like their shooting percentage is really low. How do you explain that? And like I asked Travis Green that this morning. I'm like, you know, like Steve Seios mentioned all these analytical numbers that we've gone into earlier in this podcast, but like goaltending, I think there's a reasonable expectation that Linus Ullmark can bounce back to career norms. I think that's a reasonable take to have. But like shooting percentage, like what can you do as a team to improve the shooting percentage? And he kind of got into what they can do. And one of the interesting things that I thought that he said today was like, as a coaching staff, we kind of haven't really coached offense yet. We haven't had a chance to, or like we haven't really focused on that because the emphasis has been like, let's get these guys playing the right way hockey wise. And now maybe that the team's starting to play well defensively and they've kind of grasped the structure and the team concept in that phase of the game, maybe now is the time where you'll start to see them do some more creative experimentation and set plays and everything else.
And I think on that, I don't have the exact numbers, but they are one of the lowest, like it depends on where you gather your statistics, but they're one of the lowest in terms of generating high danger chances this year. They're very good at limiting it, but they haven't been so good at generating them. And you know, you talk about shooting percentage. If you're not having great shots, you know, the likeliest outcome is that the goaltender is going to save it more often, right? And that can lead into a lower shooting percentage. And I think that's really interesting about Green. I wasn't at practice today, but just that answer, right? That, you know, they have instilled that defensive principle, which I think for the most part has been there, but that their offensive game outside of the power play that was really hot for the first 5, 10 games, once that subsided, they haven't really been scoring. I think they were averaging in the month of November like 2.1 goals a game. Like that's just not enough to win in the NHL.
No, not at all. Like when your specialty, like if you're not getting goaltending and your special teams isn't doing its job, it makes it very difficult to win, right? Like that's the story for teams to have success in the postseason. You need the good goaltending, you need your special teams to be dominant. Like that, those are like, there's so much parity in the league that those are the separators. When you get that, chances are you're going to win. And in Ottawa's case, they're just not getting that lately. And it's kind of impacted their play. But yeah, they got to do a better job of creating quality scoring chances. Like they're just like the shot quality just hasn't been there offensively for like sustained stretches. Obviously, they're getting chances every game, but like they need more sustained offense. And like I don't know how you feel about it, Alex, but like sometimes when I've been watching the team lately, it seems like they're getting a lot of shot volume from the blue line. Like it's almost like they're funneling. They'll work the puck down low. They'll throw it high. They'll get a shot from the point, and there's either no deflection or traffic, or the shots are just missing the net. And it's just like nothing's really. There's nothing dangerous about it. But I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that. But that seems to be like one of the observations that I've had from the recent stretch.
I would definitely agree with that. It feels like a lot of times, like even in the game against Edmonton, they have like a good stretch of play. They're cycling, and then it's just like I remember one play where Tyler Cleven gets the puck, kind of not completely at the blue line, but maybe took a stride or two in and just launches a wrist shot. Goalie, like no one in front, goalie glove save, and it's like you just played well for 40 seconds. And you just killed all your momentum, right? And now.
And not only that, Travis Hammock has a tendency to do that as well, where he'll just throw a puck in the net. And like you're not going to score if you don't throw pucks in the net, obviously. But at the same time, it's like if you have a team that's fatigued on the ice, like the opposition's chasing the puck the entire time in the defensive zone. If you just throw a cookie at the goaltender and he can glove it like nonchalantly, then you're letting them off the ropes, right? Like you have a chance to extend shifts and maybe get a line change and keep that cycle going and maybe generate off a tired defensive group. But yeah, when you do that, it's sometimes I understand why they do it. It's just it can be frustrating on the other side saying, hey, sustain the pressure, keep the cycle going, get these guys even more tired, and maybe you'll get a better quality scoring opportunity down the road.
You want to talk about JBD and Hamonic? Because I mean, you mentioned to it. I feel like we have to, because it's kind of been.
I'm surprised. The one thing I will say is like I'm surprised it takes this long for JBD to get in the lineup. Like I obviously like the first instance where he got into the lineup, it was predicated off an injury, right? Like Artem Zub got a concussion, so that created the opportunity. But it's interesting because like I've tweeted about this a few times. It's just, for a team that seems to pride itself on like expected goal analytics, and they obviously place some value in there. They're loath to give Travis Hamonic time in the press box when he's statistically one of the worst defensemen on the team, especially in terms of expected goal data.
No, like,
And yeah, go ahead. Go
No, I was
ahead.
just gonna say I was looking at it because I'm probably gonna write something about it tomorrow. But the two worst pairings for the Senators this season in terms of expected goals, Corsi, everything you look at is the two pairings of Travis Hamonic with Jake Sanderson and Travis Hamonic with Tyler Cleven, right? Like it just it's like it's just right in front of you. And the kind of irony that I was thinking about was I was sifting through the data, and Travis Hamonic against the Oilers had his best Corsi game basically in the last 10 games. So I thought he's actually played better of late, ironically, with a bit more, I guess he got 19 games to figure it out. But that's kind of the irony of the decision is I actually thought the past couple of games he had been playing a bit better. And then you take him out for JBD, who had been playing really well when he was taken out.
Yeah, I think there's moments when you watch him play live, I feel like there's moments where you can see there is some. He does some good things on the ice. Like the instance that stands out in my mind from that Edmonton game is like there was like a cross ice, like right to left pass going through the high slot, and he knocked it down with his stick and poked it to a forward, like a loose puck to the forward. Ottawa transitioned the other way and got a chance out of it. And like that was just a great heads up defensive play to anticipate the pass coming through, knocks it down and then sends the puck going the other way. Like that's him at his best. But and he's had a couple like key shot blocks and key moments to preserve leads. Like I think it was the Edmonton, no, sorry, not the Edmonton game, the Los Angeles game that was like
Blurry.
just a gong show of a game. But he came up with a huge block late in the game to preserve the tie. They send it to OT and they win. Like there's been moments where he's done some great things on the ice, but I think the body of work that he has over the course of the season, obviously the bad has outweighed the good, even though, I think he's a well-respected veteran. I think he's a popular guy in that room. And he seems like a really nice guy to deal with, just from a media
He's
perspective,
great to
but,
deal with the media.
and, very thoughtful and like gives great answers and everything else. But like, at some point, especially with Jacob Bernard Docker being like a 24-year-old young defenseman who's got control of a term left, like once the season ends for Travis Hamonic on his contract, like I don't envision a scenario where he's back unless they bring him back,
Maybe.
without a movement clause or anything. But like, I just don't understand why it took this long because
No.
JBD is like the underlying results are really good. the organization has gone on record saying, hey, like, especially Travis Green, like, hey, like, playing with Sanderson top 4 minutes, like, Travis Hammond could get exposed because he's playing against better competition.
And he
you
was, yeah.
can't, yeah, and it's totally valid and you understand that. But at the same time, when he's been on the third pairing, he isn't sheltered and the numbers are still bad. So how do you not give Jacob Bernard Docker, who when he played with Tyler Cleven, that pairing had like the fifth best expected goals allowed rate
I know.
in the entire NHL. Like, that's a stat, like, they value, but why is it taken in this long just to be like, hey, we're gonna make the switch? Because Ottawa's not a bad team. They're a competitive team. And when you're kind of more in the middle pack of the NHL, like, you need every margin, like, you need those margins of error to be as big as possible. So, like, why would you willingly put on a lesser
And
valuable
the
player
interesting
on the
thing
ice?
is, you talk about, well, two things kind of spring to mind is one is, this Steos has really talked about leadership, same with Green. And I think, that I think that's really it, is that he's well liked, he knows how to. He's been in the league a long time, even though I feel like he makes a lot of mistakes, and although less of late, but I think it's just leadership, and that's what they valued, like with Cousins, with Amadio, with obviously Ullmark, Giroux. I'm forgetting someone, Perron as well. But the kind of other thing that I find interesting is, you talk about them instilling those defensive principles. Like they've been a better team in terms of goal production with JBD on the ice compared to this last stretch of five games with Hamonic in without instead of JBD. And I wonder if that's maybe, to the question you asked Green earlier, it's like, oh, like, yeah, if we get the puck out of our own zone, that's as good as offense as making like three block shots. And actually, JBD's pretty good at blocking shots as well. But I think that's maybe the conundrum that this team and maybe Travis Green, Steve Steos is like, well, we want leadership on this team. This team has been super young and fallen apart early in the season and just overall. At the same time, like, who's the better player? And I keep thinking about earlier, and I forget if the opening press conference, but if it was when Green was hired or if it was in September, but he talked about like the best players play. And that just feels like it's been missing a little bit. At the same time, I was looking through the numbers, and I'm sure you know this, like their top two lines right now are like top 20 in the league in terms of expected goals, like with Greg Kachuk and Norris and Stutzla, Batherson, Giroux, like they're both top 20. So in a sense, like he's also adhering to the analytical approach, just not with Travis Hamonic.
Yeah, but I think that's the interesting wrinkle as well, because like Josh Norris, his underlying numbers, like, even though he was being productive and he was scoring on when he did get those opportunities, like, he was filling the net. I think his shooting percentage is like over 20% or whatever. He was scoring when he did get those chances, but like, the underlying numbers weren't good. Like, typically, like, if there was one Ottawa line that was getting outshot, no chance by the opposition, it was the Josh Norris line. So he makes that switch with Tim Stützle. They switch, and all of a sudden it's like clicks. And like, I think putting a play driver, I think part of the problem with Norris is that he needs a play driver on his line. I think Brady Tkachuk is that play driver. He can sustain shifts in the offensive zone on his own, and he draws defenders to him, creating more space for Norris to get his shot away. That's his best asset, right? So I think that works, and playing like that straight line, predictable offensive game works more towards Norris than it would if he was with like creative players and like Giroux, and like, they're all skilled players. Theoretically, it should always work because there's just so much talent on the ice. But like, I think that component of the game keeps it simpler for them, predictable, and it seems to be working right now. Whereas like, I think Tim Stützle is just on another level, skill wise, hockey IQ wise. Like, his game is just it's gone to such a freaking awesome level this season. It's been fun to watch. But like, putting him with like two creative and dynamic players, and like Claude Giroux and Drake Batherson. Like, Drake Batherson's like, his season's been incredible so far.
Yeah,
He's
he's been
probably,
really good.
and nobody's really talking about it because like, the team hasn't had a ton of success, and like, Tim Stützle's kind of been like the human highlight reel for the first little bit. But like, Drake Batherson's had an incredible season so far, but we're just not talking about him.
Yeah, no, it's interesting about you talked about Tim Stützle. I think I forget who posted it, but like even defensively, he's been much, much better. I think this year you can see a big leap in his defensive play. I mean, Green's talked about it, but even the underlying numbers, I think after it's something like 1.7 goals per 60 when he's on the ice, I think, according to Evolving Hockey. That probably had changed in the past couple of days, but like he's been a really, really good defensive player. And
Oh, you see it, right? Like you see it in the defensive zone. Like it's not just a numbers thing. Like you could see him making a greater effort to come back, like to the goal line, disrupt
How many times does he
the
like
opposition. It's
stolen a puck, like ch racing back, chasing
yeah.
a guy, or just even disrupted a play? Like, I think that's the thing. Even against Edmonton, I thought he was their best player. Like, you could tell he was a puck hound. He was everywhere. He was trying his butt off. I wonder if he can be a bit stronger on the puck, but that, I mean, we're splitting hairs at that point. I feel like he's lost the puck a little bit, just kind of.
Even in the Carolina game, right? Like he was one of the few players that you could just watch and say the effort level is there. Like he is like skating as hard as he can almost all the time, trying to make stuff happen. Especially when Ottawa got down 1-0. Like his game, you notice him. He's the one guy on the ice that you notice all the time, and that's probably a product of just like how fast he is, anyways. But like he is working so hard right now, and it's just like the game is coming to him. It's really fun to watch. I feel like he's taken a marked step forward, but he's always been a good player. But I feel like he's kind of separated himself from previous versions of himself with his play this
And
year.
he's still producing, like, even with the added defense, it hasn't take like he's on pace for the most amount of points. He, I think, close to 100 right now. Still early, we'll see, but that feels fair. Like, they don't feel like we've talked about this a bit with maybe Brady Tkachuk, who I think has played relatively well this season, but I feel like he's just been a bit off, even though he's producing. And I don't feel that about Tim Stützle. Like, you just every night you kind of know what you're going to get, and he's been very consistent. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I think he's had a point in like 15 of his 19 games. Like, something like that. I know he had 9 out of his first 10, if I'm not mistaken. So, he's just been a really he's been the player that Sens fans wanted, and that contract is going to age very, very well, in years to come.
Yeah, no kidding. He's just a play driver, man. Like his game's just found another level, and it doesn't matter who he's playing with. He's controlling the ice, and like, we haven't really talked about it yet. But like with those two lines clicking, David Perron comes back. Shane Pinto returns from injury. That line was arguably Ottawa's best. Not in terms of actual production, maybe, but like they were creating more shots, more chances than any other line on Ottawa for the first probably like week, 2 weeks of the season. And now that they've been reunited because everyone's healthy, and David Perron's obviously he had his own situation that he was dealing with at home, and it's awesome that he's back with the team and playing. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued to see how that line does like moving forward. Like they've. If they're healthy and productive, that gives Ottawa like arguably three good lines, and then the fourth line's playing at a really high level too. So I
I
don't want to.
know
It's
that's
there's a lot of positivity. It's just like you can like I understand the frustration. Like that's the funny part. It's like there's a lot of talent here, and all these lines have clicked at various points this season. Some of these lines are clicking right now. It's just like, can we get it all to work at the same time and then get the results, right? Because that's the frustration right now. It's that the results just haven't been there.
the one thing I would say though, like and you know, we talked about kind of, I've written about it, like process versus results. And we're talking about this team feels like they should be 10-6-1 or whatever, and they're 8-9-1. But there is one thing that I've noticed, and not just with, Allmark maybe not being as sharp as, is that they give up those goals in bunches, right? And I've asked Travis Green about this. He said it wasn't really an issue. But then even yesterday, Steve Staios mentioned it out of the blue, which I was like, wow, he must be reading my stuff because. Or I don't know, but and I think that's the one little thing where they lose a bit of the sense of the game. Went for against Edmonton, they tie the game, kumbaya, we're back in it. 35 seconds later, McDavid scores, right? Against the Sabres, they play not a great first period, they're only down 1-0, give up a goal, and it changes. And then in the third, they cut it to 2-1, give up 2 goals in the first minute. Like, some of that's goaltending for sure, but some of it is losing guys in front. Just a little bit of that kind of attention to detail, and I think immaturity that Brady's talked about, Green talked about, even Staios talked about. And I think that's the real missing step from this team. As much as it is goaltending, is their ability to find ways to win and learn how to win. But the problem is that we've been saying this about this team for the last 2, 3 years when they were put together to be at least a competitive team. At the same time, I think you've tweeted about it numerous times. Like, this isn't the same process as years prior. Like, I think that's fair to say, and I think that's the right approach. But I think there's that little just attention to detail that this team is missing. And I think that's been the biggest learning curve that Steyos talked about. Like, we need to learn how to win. We need to learn those kind of fine margins. But it's
Yeah.
like, look at the
And
Leafs.
and I
They've
yeah.
never learned how to win. And like,
I also
one.
feel like part of Ottawa's problems right now are like it's compounded by like poor penalties at like the worst times. You know, like they get that 1-1 goal and then it's like two like that Carolina game, like the horrendous calls. Like what do you do? Like it's totally out of your control. Like some of that's out of your control. It's just like it's what do you attribute to other than bad luck? Like it's just like and you know, it's just like there's untimely penalties, like quite often, especially like towards the end of periods, which is like inexplicably, like I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like it's an
Well,
anomaly.
like
Like
just even.
how do you coach that out of your game? Like how is it like it's almost like, and same with like the goals and short bursts. Like I totally understand your point about like you know you just have to mentally you have to like just acknowledge the problem early on and then just like make sure you're focused and sharp like early in periods, but. It almost feels like it's almost like a statistical anomaly that just has snowballed into like, oh crap, here we go again, you know?
And that's the interesting thing. Like, I remember Jensen talked about it. It was a couple games ago. I think it was last week when they played here, and I think they lost to the Islanders. And he kind of talked about how, like, we're playing really good, and it's just not going our way. And it's kind of becoming mental. Like, it's in our heads. Like, it's really hard to get over that barrier when it feels like you're doing everything right. And the process is bad. And what, springs to mind with what you were talking about there is like against Vegas. It's in my mind. They play really well. They're up 2-0. They give up a goal, but it's all good. And then I think 21 seconds after, a puck from the blue line hits Jake Sanderson. It's going wide, hits a skate, goes in 2-2. And it's like that, as much as you want to blame coaching, like that's no one's fault, right? Or against Carolina, they hang in, Tim Stützle scores, you're like, like they're back. And then it's like the worst call you've ever seen, right? And then Pinto gets it. Or then even last night against the Oilers, like maybe a questionable call on Norris, but
But
it's
it's like
called.
that's what
But
yeah
then the
there's like those
Giroux, like,
loose puck battles happen all the time. The far referee calls it while the guy closest to the play watching it lets it go, and you're just like you just shake your head. Like it's just like
and then the
it just
Giroux.
seems like the problems just compound and it's just everything snowballs. It's
And then the
it's
Giroux
insane.
call, it's like you never see that, and he didn't even put it, like, it was, it hit his glove, but like
But
it's
it's
not.
yeah we had this conversation in practice yesterday. It's like the spirit of the rule is for a player to take his glove and like bat the puck away with his glove, but he drew the puck back with his stick with both hands on his stick, but the glove touched the puck during that motion. So it's like by letter of the law, yeah, that's a penalty, but spirit of the law,
The
that's
right
not
call.
that wasn't the intent of the rule.
Yeah. And
So
it
it's just like
so
and it goes against Ottawa and boom, boom, there you go.
yeah, and that's the game basically, right? Like,
Yeah.
it's just, yeah,
It was like the Carolina game Redux. You're just like you know, like, what do you do? What do you do?
I think that's the one thing where I feel like the word befuddled, like as I mentioned before, like I don't know how to explain this. I don't know how to make sense of it. I think
But
there
it's
are.
it, yeah. Like, it's befuddling, but at the same time, it's like, it sucks to, if the analysis is like, oh, they just need to get luckier, you know, like that's it's
Well,
like the worst analysis.
I
And
know.
nobody wants to hear it. They're like, no, it's like you post this on Twitter. Like I was having this conversation with people on Twitter yesterday. It's like, you know, like this isn't the same team. If everything stays the same in like a couple circumstances and stats change, this team should be fine. They're gonna be good, you know? But nobody wants to hear that. They're like, this sucks. This is the same team as always. It's like nobody wants to hear it. It's like they just need a little better luck and they'll be fine. Because nobody wants to talk about that. It's always got to be there's something in particular that you point to and say, this is the reason why it's happening. But like I don't know. You can't expect anyone from the organization to come out and be like, Ullmark has sucked. Like he hasn't played well this year. Like no one's gonna hang their goalie out. You're not gonna hang the guy that you just signed a massive extension to and just like hang him out to dry and say, like, he's been awful. We need him to be better. Once he's better, we'll be fine. Like Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear like
What do you
luck will
think of
improve,
that?
goaltending will improve. It's just everybody wants to blow up the core, and it's there's like that sect of the fan base. It's just like this core is rotten. It's this and this, and you're just like, guys, just relax. They're one game under 500. Just like breathe a little bit.
The one positive, like if we're gonna be positive, is like I'll coin my own term just because I have an ego, but the Mid-Atlantic, like they're what, 3 points out of a playoff spot right now? I think actually only two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
Buffalo
Boston had
can
the
must.
second wild card. I think Boston had the second wild card. Yeah, I haven't looked at the standings today, but like Boston had the second wild
Check.
card seed. I think, yeah, I think they were 2 points back. Ottawa
They are
17.
2 points. So they're literally, if they win the game tonight, they are tied with Buffalo with the same record for the eighth wild card spot. Like they are not far away. They are,
No, but I
but
think this week's slate of games, like even extending back to like Carolina on Saturday and then Edmonton, like playing Vegas, Vancouver, and Calgary is not easy. I think the combined record was almost like 40, 20, and 10 or something like that for like those teams. And like those are very good opponents, and like they're all measuring stick games. And I think, yeah, if you're going to make the playoffs, you have to be able to show that you can beat good teams. And I think that's the challenge for this team. But at the same time, like when things aren't going your way, you have like this absolutely horrendously difficult stretch of games. It just puts more pressure on you. And I think it creates a bigger sense of urgency than otherwise there might be if, you know, the slate of games was a little bit easier. But those are the circumstances that they've been dealt with, and then they gotta showcase themselves and prove that they're resilient and just put together a win or two. Like that's all, you know.
I really feel this team, it's like if it can just click, like if they can just, like let's say they beat Vegas tonight, they're on a back-to-back. I mean, Edmonton was as well, but you win that game. Vancouver's been weird. JT Miller's gone. I wouldn't say that's been a happy kind of team, even though they've been relatively successful. And then Calgary's, a good team, but they're not world beaters. Like you could
Blue collar and work hard. Yeah, blue collar and work hard, right?
You can conceivably win those games, and then you play, I think it's San Jose on the Wednesday, and there's a four game win streak. Like, I'm not saying that's gonna happen,
You just jinxed it.
but my pardon me,
You just jinxed
I just jinxed, yes.
That's how this podcast works.
I'm just jinxing, yes, it's just all part of the narrative.
But
Batman,
at the same time, like I understand the fan frustrations. I understand the player
yes.
frustrations, right? Like I even though like Travis Green and Steve Staios are relatively new to this organization, like they're not responsible for the things that have happened in the past. But I think at the same time, you also have to acknowledge that this core has been here and endured some terrible seasons. Many of those seasons were as part of a larger rebuild, which I think is like context lost by a lot of people. It's just like this team was intentionally trying to be bad to procure higher draft picks at the NHL draft. They were intending to be bad. The team from 5 or 6 years ago is not the team that's here now, even though the core has been here. But like, I understand the frustrations of the core. I understand the frustrations of the fans who've endured bad hockey in November. I totally understand that. But at the same time, it's like a guy from RDS this morning was showing me stats for the month of November. And like a lot of Ottawa's actual like data is better than it was in October when they were winning more games. But the results aren't there. So, but like people,
EDO, baby.
it's almost like the what have you done lately? Like very like tunnel vision focused fans are just focused on what happened yesterday. They're not looking at a bigger picture of just being like, okay, you know, like if this team continues to play at this level, more often than not, they should have success moving forward.
But isn't that almost like the crux of sports these days for GMs, for everyone? It's like the difference between process and results. Like Kyle Dubas, always about process. We're playing well, but we lose in the first round. It doesn't matter, right? In a sense, right? And I think that's the really difficult thing for this fan base to understand, for the players, for the coach, is like you play well, but you don't get the result. And how do you deal with that, right? And I think teams that have won over the past, like, oh, you lose a game in, Vegas. They lose to Toronto, don't play their best. They play Ottawa. Like, let's say they lose tonight. Do you think it's going to be like a hellhole? Like, what's wrong with the Vegas Golden Knights? No, right?
Yeah, no, probably not. No.
Yeah, but in Ottawa, you lose back to back, or in this case now three. It's like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. What's wrong, right? And there's some of that for sure. Like, I don't think they played their best against Carolina and Edmonton. and got unlucky against Philly. But that's the thing that we're going to find out is do they keep with the process that has been relatively good? Does Allmark, figure himself out? Or do they take that mental burden and it becomes a thing in their head? And you look at the Leafs and winning a playoff series is like their Stanley Cup, right? Like, I'm not saying it's exactly that, but I feel like there's a little bit of an element of this team's in its head, right? And can they get out of it? And can they get along, go kind of to the other side? And I think that's why if they can just win 3 or 4 games, I really think it could be such a turning point because you kind of get maybe a bit of separation in the playoff spot where you're like in it rather than fighting for it. And then you can play free and easy. And Allmark gets a couple wins and builds off it, right? And vice versa. Like, I really feel like the shoe could
But I
drop.
feel like Boston, for example, is like fighting for that wild card seed with Ottawa, right? And they just fired their head coach because like their numbers, they're almost like the antithesis of Ottawa,
I
right? Like
know.
their numbers are horrendous, but they found a way to
Yep.
win one or two more games. And what did they do? They fired their coach. They kind of understood like what they were doing wasn't working, and they recognized that early on. They made a change. And like in Ottawa's case, they're just not getting results, but they're playing well. So, do you panic and make a move? I
I don't. I
like
don't.
what aside from the only change I could ever see them making is like if Claude Giroux came to them and said, "I'm, you know what, guys? Like if the playoffs aren't a possibility this season, I would like to have a chance to compete in the playoffs this season." Like other than that, like where are you making a significant change? Like with the money that in term that they've allocated to like many of these players, like there's very. I feel like there's very little room for change right now. It's just like that's like one of the, like a trade of consequence is something that you probably make in the off season when the market's larger and there's more opportunity to get stuff done and more players are available. It's just to do that now when the numbers portray them kind of favorably in many respects, like it just doesn't,
Yeah,
to me, it doesn't make sense.
I don't think, I don't think I meant that I thought this team should like blow it up or do
Oh,
something.
no. I'm just saying, like, a lot of people are saying that, though. Like, you post anything on social media, and maybe that's just the curse of social media. It's just like you post
Probably a
something,
bit of
and
both.
everyone just wants to react, in the extremes, right? So, I don't know. Maybe it's just the function of the way sports news is consumed these days. It's just people have a tendency to overreact to like small sample sizes and everything else. But like,
You know what?
I totally understand the frustrations. I totally understand the frustrations.
I think someone on Twitter, I somehow it came on Twitter, and again, Twitter is not the best vessel for amazing thoughts all the time, but someone was talking about stripping Brady Tkachuk of the captaincy, and I'm like, okay, like what? Like, where are we going? What are we doing? He's been one of Ottawa's best players this year. He's produced like it, but that's kind of the example that you're talking about. It's like, what are we doing? Right?
Well,
Like,
it's just people go to the extremes. It's like, I don't know. And then I don't know. I don't know. Like the only change I could see them making to like try and like impacting the games is like maybe you play Anton Forsberg more. Maybe you give him a
I
stretch
was
of games
gonna
to see
go
what he can
there.
do.
That was one
You know,
thing.
like that's the to me, aside from like the JBD move, which they've already made ahead of tonight's game, like the only thing I think that you could do is give Anton Forsberg an opportunity to get a couple games. And like let Linus Ullmark work with Justin Peters and try and rebuild his confidence levels and everything else. Give himself like a little
That's
mental
what I
break.
would honestly, if I were the center, like let's say Allmark plays terribly tonight. And I don't really have a feel that he will or won't, but he plays poorly tonight. I think Forsberg played the things Forsberg played really well against Carolina, except that first goal, and it changed the outcome of the game. But he has been pretty good for the most part. And steadier than Allmark. And I think if he's, if Allmark struggles again, you play Forsberg against Vancouver and you just ride the hot goalie. Because at the end of the day, like look at Florida with Bobrovsky. Like at one point, he was their backup, right?
Oh, and they were talking about how do we get rid of this contract, right? Like that was the big discussion point because
And,
he's
but
making over $10 million. So it's like, what do we
they
do? And
try.
then
They prioritized winning in the 23 season and they played Lion like a bunch and they squeaked into the playoffs. And guess what? Lion didn't do great. You put Bobrovsky in and then you make it to like, it's not like he's off the team, right? But this team needs to win too. And I
yeah,
think that's the one
it's
thing I would do a little bit
that
then.
is the weird dynamic though, right? Because obviously you want to put your short-term interests at the forefront because like you want to end this losing streak. You want to end this three-game losing streak. You need wins. You need to start turning things around and building a points cushion so you don't fall too far behind the pack. And at the same time, like you recognize that, but at the same time, you also recognize like if this team is going to make the postseason and possibly have success in the postseason, they need Linus Ullmark playing games and they need him playing at a high level. And maybe like Anton Forsberg probably isn't going to be your number one through the course of the season if you're going to
But you
make the
never know.
postseason.
Like, I don't know.
Maybe. Andrew,
Like,
I know Andrew Hammond's like the obvious
well, not,
example of a guy just like
well,
catching
yeah.
lightning in a bottle, but you know, I
I,
did.
maybe it's just me. Like, I'm not, I do not pretend to be a goalie, expert. And it was funny. Like, Travis Green, was it yesterday or the day before? I kind of asked him about, like, what goes into your decision-making process for goaltender, like, for who starts. And he's talked about Justin Peters. And, he said, like, Green said, "I don't profess to be a goalie expert, but the decision's mine." But I talk, and I feel like goaltending just so voodoo. Like, I really don't feel like I have a good sense of it. Like, people that might not know this, but I'm a huge, well, maybe not now because I'm in the industry, but like, I watch every Winnipeg Jets game I can. And Connor Hellebuck's amazing for 82 games, and then the playoffs hit, and he's just not as good, right? And it's just like, how, like, what changes? What's there? It doesn't really make any sense to me. And so I don't really feel like goaltending.
It could
I
be load
don't.
management, right? Could be load management.
Sure, yeah, that's definitely an argument, but I just mean in terms of like puck luck and
Yep.
like Jordan Binnington. I still have like scars from that series against Winnipeg in the 2019 playoffs where the Jets just completely dominated the first two games, but Binnington was insane. Right. And then they win the cup, and Binnington ever since has been pretty mid, right? But if, let's say, they didn't ride the hot hand for whoever their goaltender, Jake Allen, then 2019 Blues might not be a thing, right? So I don't know what to make of it, but just from my vantage point, I'm like, if Forsberg's playing well, play Forsberg. He hasn't, his last two starts have been more iffy, but feels like if he was in net against Philly and maybe even against the Oilers, they might win those two games, right? So I don't know.
And it doesn't help that like Joey Decord's having a phenomenal year. Philip Gustafson's having a phenomenal year. And everyone's like, ah, yeah, we let those guys go. And why? You know, like the Pierre Dorion era was earmarked by like small sample sizes, like just destroying all credibility of the goaltending. It's like, I'm going to get this guy. He had a good season. Oh, he had a bad season with us. We got to get rid of him. We'll get this guy who had a good season. And then he has a bad season. I got to get rid of him. You know, like there's just, especially with the young goaltenders too, it's like they gave up a lot of like controllable term and young assets didn't really get that much impact for like Cam Talbot's not a bad goalie, but like a 1 year guy. He was a 1 year stopgap guy anyway. So it's just like it is frustrating and I get it. And it's just seeing that kind of success elsewhere doesn't help. And then it helps that narrative that Ottawa was a goaltending graveyard. And yeah, what do you do to get it to change? I guess is a good starting point for like discussion. It's like if Ullmark can't bounce back, like what do you do? Like where does the responsibility go?
Yeah, I think my, as I kind of professed before, just play the better goaltender. Like, you have him for 5 years. Like, if he doesn't have his best year in year one, okay, you have year two. You have, like, kind of like the Bobrovsky mold, where he was really bad in his first couple of years, and now he wins a cup. And hopefully that happens in Ottawa with Ullmark. We'll see. I don't know how much I believe it, but just in general, like, if you, to the three Florida Panthers fans and 2020, like, they and you'd said, hey, Bobrovsky would be like one of the biggest reasons you won the cup in 2024, they'd be like, what the heck? Like, this guy has an 890 save percentage or whatever he had in his first couple of years, and then he turned it around. And so that's the thing with goaltending. It's like, it's not like if like Tim Stützle was struggling, right? I'd be like, well, like, you can't really find another number one center, right? Like, you're kind of stuck with him, like, you have to figure it out, right? With goaltending, that's true to some degree, but you'll always have Cam Ward or Binnington or Darcy Kemper. Like, if you look at the goalies who have won the cup the past couple of years, they're not all like sensational, right? Adin Hill out of nowhere, right? So that's the only pushback I maybe have on like playing Ullmark to like get his confidence up. It's like, well, this team hasn't made the playoffs in years. Like, play who's playing better. And if it changes, which it invariably will, then you play Allmark, and like it's a long stretch of games, and but they're going with Allmark, and we'll see if it works. But I think at a certain point, like let's say he has a stinker tonight, that's a couple in a row. What do you do?
Yeah, it puts a lot of pressure on him, and it, you know, if he is struggling with his confidence and everything else, that's only going to make it worse. And yeah, they are playing some tough games, like meaningful games, in the next short while. So it's like they have to stop the bleeding now, and they have to kind of like spin it and go on a little bit of a streak, and just gather some victories where they can. And like you mentioned, like San Jose is a great launching point. Like if
Play
you can
Anaheim.
build some, yeah, like if you can build some momentum with a stretch of games, it's gonna be crazy. But then like you also look at December, and it's like a ridiculous schedule because of the World Junior Tournament, where it's like the front half of the month is stacked with home games, and then the back half, none at all, because the CTC is booked for the World Junior Tournament. So it's like if you I my attitude is they have to end the month on a relatively good stretch. They have to start December off on a relatively good stretch, because if they can't win games on the road, which they haven't proven they can do this year, they're gonna be in a terrible spot. They're gonna be like behind the eight ball, and that is when I would get worried. If they can't get a good sense of momentum going into that road stretch, that is my genuine concern. That's the moment for me.
And even, yeah, for me, it's like when they start to, like, let's say they lose the next two games. You're 8-11-1. You're probably 5 points out of, like, that's when I'm like, uh-oh. Like, right now, you know,
That's
you're,
not insurmountable though, right?
yeah,
Like,
no. But I just mean in terms of, I see, like, you're getting farther and farther away. Like,
yep, for
now they're in
sure.
the hunt.
Absolutely.
It's fine. They win tonight. You're 9-9-1. You're right there. You might split the games on Saturday. You know, like, and then, like, if they just stay around 500, that's fine. It's if they, you know, I've said this to you. They lose four in a row, you're like, uh-oh. They win four in a row, it's like we've figured out, you know, Rome has been built in a day. Right? Like, it
Well,
just.
I'd say exactly. It's like the Boston. It's like that two-game set against Boston and Toronto, where they win that very important game in Boston in OT, and then they go into Toronto and beat them 3-0. You're like, okay, like, all right, here we go. This is gonna be good. Let's see what we can do against Philadelphia. And then the ending of the Philadelphia game was one of the worst things imaginable for like where this team is at. And like,
Yeah,
you
they
know,
should, yeah,
had they
that
gained
would be,
those, had they got those 2 points against Philadelphia, you'd be laughing.
yeah,
In a
so
much better shape. Or had they secured that win against Vegas, you'd be laughing, you know. Or if they stole a point against Colorado, it'd be like, I think the problem with Ottawa right now is like they miss these like small opportunities to get like a point or two here and there, and that,
built.
yeah, it builds over time. It's a lost opportunity. And I think when you go through these difficult stretches of scheduling, that's when you feel it more and be like, oh God, yeah, maybe they will go 8-8-11-1, but at the same time, it's like, you know, had they won those games or two, they'd be 500, which is probably more reflective of where this team is at than the record would be otherwise. So
Maybe the one thing that I think is, we've talked about a little bit overall, but like, I feel like Jake Sanderson has been a bit of a tipping point for this team. Like, he had a great start. The team was 4-2.
and then what happened?
Yeah.
Can
Well,
you can you
damn it. Yeah,
So like
or
I like
two, you can
you know
argue
like
with.
I was on the Locked On Sens podcast yesterday, and like I don't want to like slag Travis Hamonic because it's unnecessary, like, but like
No.
statistically he's been an anchor on every pairing that he's ever been a part of, and like for whatever reason they felt obligated to put him on that pairing with Sanderson because he's probably the veteran guy, I'm assuming. And at that point they just simply didn't trust Jacob Bernard-Docker to play like those minutes, right? And obviously, they still don't trust Jacob Bernard-Docker to play third pairing minutes until today. But you know, and it's cratered. Like Jake Sanderson's game has just fallen off a little bit. Like for the first like five handful of games, like the first handful of games, he was one of the best defensemen in the league, like bar none. Offense, defense. You know, you have that 5-on-5. His point production hasn't been great of late, but like.
He doesn't have one 5-on-5 point in through what, 18 games?
Yeah, it's. I think that's a bit of a statistical anomaly in itself. Like,
Oh, I
hopefully, out of
agree,
turn,
but
but like, I think there's context for his poor play, and I don't think it's very dissimilar from like Thomas Chabot playing with Nikita Zaitsev for a long time. Like, you know, if you're constantly chasing the game in your defensive end and you're playing against the opposition and one of your partners, your defensive partner can't hold his own, that impacts all your decisions, impacts the way that you play, and it puts you in an uncomfortable spot. But at the same time, like, he hasn't been very good with Artem Zub either. Like, that pairing hasn't been good either. Like, it's been disappointing. Like, I think if you were to ask me, and again, there's context for it too. Like, Artem Zub got hurt in the Los Angeles Kings game, and like, who knows how much that concussion impacted like his ability to play at the level that we've witnessed. Like, last year that pairing was very good. This year they haven't been. How do you explain that? And aside from Artem Zub being injured, like, I don't have an explanation for why that pairing isn't working well.
No, and actually, like, even though it was a small sample size, when he got injured, I think it was in the third game of the season, they in the first two games they actually hadn't been that good, but small sample size. They have been growing together, I find, outside of maybe the game against Philly, where there was a couple kind of miscues, but their underlying numbers are kind of growing steadily. But the team has too, so it's kind of hard to, it's like the chicken of the egg. Like, if Stützle, Batherson and Giroux have dominating opponents, that's gonna be reflective of Sanderson and Zub, right? So, that are out there with those guys. So it's kind of hard to.
The one thing, and I mentioned this yesterday on Locked On Sens, is like the one play that just stands out in my mind, and I don't even know if I've ever seen him, Jake Sanderson, do this, but like, there was a pass from Sanderson at the point on the power play to Stützle near the top of the left circle, and it was just like he just whiffed, like he just missed him, like just missed him completely. Puck goes to the Edmonton defense, they dump it down the ice. I'm like, I can't remember the last time I saw like a Jake Sanderson unforced error. With a pass like that, like it's just like it just, I'm like, oh, that's not normal. Like, what's like, it was just weird. It
It
was just one
felt
of
like,
those things that just stands out so much, and you're just like, I don't know. It's for whatever reason, he's just not playing his best hockey right now.
yeah, and I think that's part of, you kind of talked about it before, but it's like just the little things. Like, Sanderson hasn't been playing his best, the goaltending, right? Hamonic, like we talked about, like just a couple little things here and there that if they turn a bit of the corner, like, feels like this. Like, I still think, and I mean, that we've talked about numbers for about an hour, so self-explanatory, but I still think this team could be a top 10 team in the league, like, if they figure it out. Like, I truly, just the way they play, if they learn how to salvage points in games, they consistently don't have brain farts where they give up goals in, 31 seconds or 5 minutes. Like, they just play consistent, well-rounded hockey. I think this team can be one of the best teams in the league. I know it sounds weird for like the Senators to be in that conversation, but I truly think like they
Oh, wow.
have.
Like, look at Washington right now. Look at Los Angeles. Like, Ottawa made Los Angeles look terrible, and they have like some of the best numbers in the league. And then Washington has like, who would have predicted where Washington would be at this season? Like, their numbers are like off the charts right now, and then they're winning games. So it's like, yeah, like sometimes that happens where like if Ottawa's structure is so good, and I think they through their work and stuff, like you see it in certain games where it's like, they create turnovers. They're taking out. They're clogging passing lanes. They're doing a lot of things really well, just based off their anticipation, aggression, and ability to forecheck and turn pucks over and create offense off those turnovers. You see a lot of good stuff on a usually like a nightly basis. But how do you do that consistently? And one of the things I've noticed with Ottawa is it seems like, and it's just an observation. I don't even have the data to back it up or anything. But it's like the only times I see Ottawa struggle are against teams that are fast. They play fast. You know, like call like obviously like Colorado is a very good team. Edmonton is a very good team. But those teams play fast. I feel like the games where Ottawa just looks bad are the ones where they're playing a very fast opponent. But again, like I don't have the data to back that up. But even like the Montreal game, like I thought Montreal skated very well, and they were pushing the pace. They were like winning. They were just simply getting the pucks faster than Ottawa was that night, and it created problems for them. And
Even New
again,
Jersey, like, yeah.
yeah, I don't have the data to back it up. Like, maybe with the exception of the Islanders game where Ottawa just looked flat, but those games where like the teams have the skill and the speed, I find those are the ones that get Ottawa into the trouble the most.
Yeah. We'll see against Vegas, who's a very fast team, but also a big team. But yeah. No, is there anything else, like, before? I feel like we've been going on for now. Is there anything else you kind of want to touch upon before we kind of
No, not really. I think like we've got most of the stuff. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
There's
No.
nothing else
How are
off the
you
top of my
like?
head.
How are you liking kind of being around the rink, most
Oh,
days?
I enjoy it, man. Like I feel like most days I'm a wallflower. Like I'm kind of like not in the scrums, like forefront with a mic or anything like that, or just, like I'm
But you asked a
engaged.
question today.
I did. I asked a question today, but like I'm engaged. But like Travis Green, same thing. Like I'm always, I don't know. I like everyone. There's a rhythm to it. Everyone's asking their questions, and then I kind of wait till the end to ask something because like I don't want to like disrupt the rhythm and like step on toes and
I need to.
make
I'm
enemies
gonna.
in the press corps and stuff. I'm just trying to just feel it out still. Like I'm still learning, and it's
Well, you're doing
it,
great, though.
I'm having a blast though. It's fun. It's a good dynamic. I've really enjoyed, like, obviously meeting you has been fun, and sitting beside you in the press boxes, the conversations are always fun and good, and I enjoy talking hockey with you, and like same with Julian. Like I really enjoy being around like you young guys. Like it's been a lot of fun, and the vets have been really good to me as well. Like Bruce Garriott and Brent Wallace have been really cordial and polite and welcoming. And like Ian Mendez and Sly, obviously, like that dynamic. If I didn't know the comms guys heading into this role, I think that would have hurt a lot more. Like I wouldn't be as comfortable. But knowing them on a relatively strong basis, like I feel more, not
Comfortable.
ingrained, but definitely certainly more comfortable. Yeah. But it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. And I get to come on your podcast and do all this other fun stuff. So
Locked On Sens,
it's been
maybe
great, man. Yeah.
get up to them,
It's
but yeah.
good guys as well. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's just fun talking Senators hockey, and hopefully I just hope the team starts playing better in terms of like the results, because I think this team does have the chance to go to the postseason. I think once they get to the postseason, they can be a problem for a lot of teams just based off the way they've been playing. But it's more fun covering teams when things are going really well. It's just the way it goes,
And it's not like this team has made the playoffs for, this isn't the early 2000s Senators, right? They haven't made it in 7 years. I was thinking like, oh my God, if they don't make it this year, 8 years, 8 seasons, like
So
holy.
that, yeah. And I think like we talked about this on the last time I was on. It's like when I was a fan growing up, like I was a kid when the Senators got their franchise and like for the 92-93 season. And then by the time they made the postseason for the first time, I think it was like what, 1996? I can't even remember.
Yep, 97.
But
Isn't
like
it 97?
might be, yeah, 92-93. That makes sense. So like 97, so 96-97. That was 4 seasons. Like that felt like that rebuild and like building a team from nothing when the team was so bad. Like their expansion draft was like horrendously bad. Like one of the worst teams ever historically. Like building it from that to their first postseason took 4 years, 4 seasons worth of hockey. So like now you're talking in the modern NHL era where there's like parity, overtime points, overtime loss points, and like it's double that.
And
Like
I
it
think
felt like 4 years as a kid felt like an excruciatingly long time, and it felt so rewarding to like reach the postseason, and now it's like 8 years, man.
oh my God. You know, well, like
Potentially, like it's crazy.
I feel like 2017 was my childhood because I was like 18, 19 years old. Like I was at the FNUF game when he scored the overtime goal, and like it feels like a lifetime ago. Like I it doesn't even like if they make the playoffs this year, I'm gonna be like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like it's been so long, and I think that's like we talked about it earlier, and like fans wanting to, like I don't blame fans for being super jubilant or super low, especially when their teams struggled, right? Like that's kind of the part of being a fan. I think I said it earlier this year, and people kind of it's part of being a fanatic, right? I'm not saying all fans are fanatics in a sense, but just you're allowed to care, you're allowed to hurt. Like that's what makes the rise hopefully just so much better, right? And so I think out of all the fan bases in the league, like this one deserves it more. Maybe outside Buffalo is pretty close, but I mean
But
they're
it's I think understanding the frustrations and everything else is totally understandable,
yeah.
like totally reasonable. I absolutely empathize with everyone who's frustrated and everything else. But at the same time, I think you also have to recognize context. And I think like a lot of this team's problems or misfortune this season is like there's context for it. It's not like it's inexplicable, right? Like You know, like even go back to like, hey, why is this player not producing? It's like, well, A, B, and C happened, and that's probably why. It's like Shane Pinto hasn't produced a lot of talent, like a lot of offenses here. It's like, well, David Perron's been gone the entire season. He got injured. And yeah, just yeah. And it's just, you know, like there's explanations, I think, for most of these things. It's just everything, I think, like you said earlier, it's like you're waiting for everything to kind of come, like all the ingredients are there. It's just you're waiting for it to mix and gel properly. And you know, it's a group of players that's playing under a new head coach. Like there's going to take time for the integration and everything else. And I think, you know, maybe by the halfway point of the season, like if things aren't going well, or like by December, like I mentioned earlier, maybe that's the time to talk about concerns and the problems and stuff. But in the interim, I think it's like they're one game below 500. Just take a deep breath until things absolutely go off the rails and like their underlying numbers crater. I think that's when you show concern. But like to this point, that hasn't happened. I'm trying to preach patience and optimism. And I know for a
So
lot of people
do
that
I
might
call
be
you
like a rare
Steady Graham?
departure.
Do I call you?
No, man. That's taken. Steve Staios has that nickname, right? So you can't use that. But it's
Steve.
weird. It's like I'm trying to express optimism and stuff, and then for a lot of people, they're probably like, "Man, that's a marked change from your past." But
It's a lot of Schadenfreude.
it's weird. It's a weird dynamic. It's like previous years, I'd look at like Ottawa's record and be like, "Ah, it's 500." Yeah, but their underlying numbers are terrible. So this is
Last
probably
year,
like,
that was it, right? Like at this point, I
and
think there were
now it's just
nine
the
and
reverse.
I think they were 9-9. Not even like I think they were technically better at this mark than last year, but the vibes were very different.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
ooh, like why does Jonas Korpisalo always, allow a billion goals, and why is there like 45 high danger chances a game? And right, like.
Yeah, it's totally different circumstances, right? And that was the analogy I used yesterday on Twitter. It's like this is totally different than previous years. It's like hitting like nine approach shots at a green, eight go in the bush, one lands on the fringe, one's different than the rest. One you could still score, you could still have put up a good score on the hole. The other one's lost balls, take a stroke. You know, like it's I feel like this season's different, but
Are you just making a golfing analogy just because this team always golfs in May, or is that?
boo, that's terrible. That's terrible.
I
That's terrible.
feel like that's the most like sense way to end this conversation, but I really appreciate Graham you taking the time and talking hockey. It's always so much fun, and it's been a pleasure getting to know you at the rink. And I hopefully both our processes in terms of work kind of match up to the results. That's
I
my
hope
goal.
so. I hope
2025.
so. I
No,
hope so. I'll feel better about my analysis if this team turns it around.
yes, exactly. It's hot take season, and we're just hoping for the takes to come in. But thanks again, Graham, for taking the time and doing this. Check out all your, do you want to plug anything for the hockey news before I let you go?
Trying to think of what I have upcoming. I'm supposed to have a one-on-one with Brady Tkachuk Friday, so I'm
Oh.
really looking forward to that. I think that'll probably be like the most high-profile guy that I've had an opportunity to sit down with one-on-one. So I'm a little bit nervous for that, but
Thought it was Dean Mendes.
you've what's that?
Thought it was
Oh,
Dean Mendes.
well, to this point, it's been Ian Mendes for
Yes.
sure. But yeah, so I'm excited for that. So that'll be coming out soon, and then I have some other cool ideas in the works that might happen. So yeah, we'll see what happens. What about yourself? What do you have going on?
I will definitely be writing about the JBD thing tonight. I have some other things lined up. I don't because the way I write, for people who don't know, it's like kind of to make sense, no pun intended, of the game. So if I have a good story about this player but they suck or just not really involved, I can't really write it. So but I have some stuff in the ether, so I'm not too worried. We've probably touched upon it. But I don't want to kind of reveal too much until I know. So that's I have to keep it a
Sweet.
bit harder. But I'm excited to read the Brady Tkachuk story, and really liked your Gaudette Janssen story as well. And you've been doing great work.
Oh, I have to plug that. If you haven't seen Andreas Johansson on the Coming in Hot podcast, stop what you're doing and go watch it. Because yeah, like Alex mentioned, I penned an article kind of comparing Adam Gaudette's hot start to one from 1998-99. That was Andreas Johansson's, where he had like I think he had like 20 goals in the first 40 games, or 19 goals in the first team's first 40 games. And
Crazy.
again, like Gaudette, like a free agent signing that nobody really anticipated this kind of production from. And yeah, turned that into a story. But he was on, so he was a former teammate of Jason York's in Ottawa and in Nashville. And if you have not listened to that episode of the podcast, go right now. Stop what you're
There you
doing.
go.
Go, because it is unbelievable. It's so funny. Like he's a character. He's such a funny, smart, articulate guy, and it's a lot of fun. You can
Awesome.
tell that.
I definitely, it was really fun watching it, but yeah, I'll plug Coming in Hot for you. And the
I
other
hate
two.
talking about someone else's podcast on your podcast,
No,
but
it's okay.
it
I
was so
just
good.
we've just done the rounds. We need to like add one. I need to add like Sens Talk, Sentennial. We've done Coming in Hot. Yeah, we're just gonna keep going. But I love those guys, and yeah, it'll be a good season, and hopefully more excitement and maybe a little bit less doom and gloom heading forward. And I always appreciate you coming on, Graham.
No, I appreciate it. It's always fun talking hockey with Alex. And just to echo what you said, it's been great getting to know you, and it's been fun sitting beside you. And yeah, conversations have been good. And yeah, it's nice to get to know you. And it's been a lot of fun, man.
Been a lot of fun, and I'm glad that you're asking more questions, because we definitely need it on the beat. So
Thanks. Appreciate that.